Good morning. How is everybody doing out there today? Good. I'm so glad to have you here with us. My name is Rachel Harris, and I have the privilege of being your host here at the 11 o'clock campus service, Hope on the Beach Church, where when you walk in the doors, we want you to feel like you're at home. All right? When you're here, you are family, and we want you to worship in whatever way is best for you. So during the service, you're welcome to stay seated if that's your comfort zone. But you can also stand with us as we worship, raise your hands to praise God, just be you. And if you're here with us for the first time, we want to give you a special welcome and say we're so glad that God put it in your hearts to come and join us this morning. And if you take a look inside of your worship folder, you're going to see that you have a connection card. If you haven't already, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from. Are you visiting? Are you local? Just anything you feel comfortable with sharing. It's our way to honor the gift God has given us by bringing you here today. And if you're here regularly, just your name at the top is fine, unless any of your information has changed or is something that you'd like to share with us today. And if you're watching online on YouTube or on our website, we want to give you guys a welcome as well. We're so glad that you're able to join us online. Go down to the comments, tell us where you're watching from. If you're on YouTube, we love to hear from everybody. Click share on that feed so we can help spread the gospel. You can download this worship folder if you go to our website on the homepage, hopeonthebeach.com. So welcome to you and good morning. So currently we are in our sermon series, Sent Disciple. And today, our pastor is going to be talking to us about conquering fears to become courageous life givers. But before we get started, let's pray over today's message. Heavenly Father, we're just humbled that you choose us to shine your light in big ways and in small ways. Help us to just be void of any hesitation whenever we perceive that your voice is calling us into action. Sometimes we find it difficult to fully trust your calling is actually fitting for us. Now, whether it's a fear of losing our self-control or seeing our sins staring back at us saying that we aren't good enough, just help us to know that your call is based on who you are, not who we are, what we can do alone, but what your work can do through us. And thank goodness you never meant for us to do anything without you, because we need you, Father, every day. Thank you for continuing to build us in the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We all pray. Amen. Let's rise, and Sam is going to lead us in our worship.
You guys feel free to stand.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what a Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know that you'll do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awaken alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. Above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things.
Sing that again.
Hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, you've done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awaken alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You have done great things, oh God. You do great things.
Amen. Let's give him a hand. God, we thank you for your sovereignty, Lord. We thank you that we can always put our faith in your character, Lord, and know that we are in the palm of your hand.
Look at the flowers and all of their beauty. Don't have to wonder what you are doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. Look at the sparrow lacking for nothing. No fear of tomorrow, what it will bring. You, I have enough. Your love will satisfy everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it. My Father has it. To seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Seek first the kingdom. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing that I know the Lord will provide.
Sing everything I need.
Ooh, everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it.
Father, we thank you for the fact that you have everything we need and you provide it oftentimes before we even ask. So we thank you for your watch care that is so special. We thank you for being with us here in this place this morning. And we thank you for having been in every venue where Hope has worshiped today. It has been a great morning already, and we look forward to your blessing here in this hour, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. You may be seated. It's good to see you. By now you know I'm Steve. I'm Director of Ministries. We've had a full morning. Pastor Jason has been down at Inlet Beach. We had our 8 o'clock service there, and I'm told we had 70 folk at Inlet Beach. That's just fantastic. That was followed by a breakfast on the beach, so hopefully they met a ton of people, and we continue to progress in that direction at Inlet Beach, and so we praise the Lord for that opportunity. So this morning, we're working our way through another characteristic of the called disciple. The series is called Sent Disciple. And when I first came to Hope, we were just unwrapping this for everyone. And so I caught the idea of a vibrant follower very easily, quickly. I got that vibrant follower, faithful, following the Lord, Bible, reading, prayer. I get it. Then came 2 a.m. friend. And it took me a week before I knew that was not 2 a.m. friend. Because I thought, what? 2 a.m. what? And then I realized it was a.m. Oh. So a friend at any time. Got it. Then came courageous life giver. And all I kept hearing was courageous life saver. And I'm thinking, what's so courageous about giving out those little candies of lifesavers? What is that? Then I read the fine print, realized what we're talking about with a courageous life giver. But so I hope we can get into this today, and I have learned more than I knew a month ago, so I can preach this message for you. But we started by asking the question, what is courage? Just wondering what it is. Because Hollywood has a version. Hollywood has a version where it's usually one person saving hundreds, thousands, maybe the world. James Bond used to save the world from some catastrophe. Tom Cruise still outruns missiles, saving the world. So Hollywood has a version of courage, but I think it's different. I think courage is more of an everyday thing. I think courage is more something we're able to do. The average person has opportunities to show courage, I think. In fact, when we look at the scriptures, I think it was courageous of the young boy to offer his lunch when Jesus had to feed 5,000 men and their families. And he asked the disciples, what have you got? And they said, well, this little guy brought us lunch, and the boy offered it up. And it was enough to feed them all after Jesus touched it. And in fact, the disciples got their share as well. I think that took courage for that little guy to step up and offer his lunch. I think it took courage for Mary to wipe Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair. I thought that was courageous of her to show that affection in a public display like that. So I don't think Hollywood always has it right. In fact, on the beach this morning, I pointed out the lifeguards. And when you think about lifeguards, they're courageous. When they hear someone in distress or they see someone flailing in the ocean, they just go. They don't know what's out there, but they go. First responders, go. When the alarm sounds, they go into the buildings people are leaving. There's courage all around us. And there's courage, too, in doing what the Samaritan did. Now, we have come to know him, the Good Samaritan. But to his friends, he was just another Samaritan. And to his enemies, the Jews, he was a Samaritan. They didn't like him much. So it's interesting that Jesus uses the Samaritan as his example in this story. So let's read the story. It's in Luke chapter 10. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to himself, But he desiring to justify, I'm sorry, I've skipped a line here. He said to himself, he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he desiring to justify himself said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? So he quotes the right scripture. Love God, love your neighbor. But he wants to be sure. So he has a follow-up question. Can we kind of verify who my neighbor is? Kind of like, how far do I have to go? Three doors down? Maybe just right next door? Who's my neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So also like a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. So the man is laying there on the road. This was just a dirt path from Jerusalem to Jericho. It wasn't that big. So it wasn't like they didn't see him. In fact, the scripture says they both saw him. But the priest, when he saw him, he crossed over to the other side. Now, are there those of you here remember the Dick Van Dyke Show? Huh? How old am I? But the Dick Van Dyke Show, for first couple of series, they had him tripping over his footstool when he came in the house. Every time. And then, later series, a couple years later, they quit having him trip, and he did a little pirouette dance around the footstool. And I kind of picture that little jig, what the priest does. As he sees him in the road, he's got to dance around because he doesn't want to get involved. I think the Levite may have even done more than that. As he saw him on a road, he may have just put the cross up. No. Covered his face. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know. Those two guys avoided a great opportunity. So here comes the Samaritan man. And he walks right over to where the man has been beaten and left half dead. And the Bible tells us that he picked him up, dressed up his wounds, put healing agents on him, and took him, put him on his animal, and took him to an inn. And that's where he gave the innkeeper 2 days' wage. He stayed with him overnight, and then the next day gave 2 days' wage and said, if you spend more than that, I'll give it to you when I come back. So we see a different behavior. The Samaritan behaved one way. The other guys behaved another. And I think they behaved the way they behaved because they were fearful. In fact, we expected those guys to be disciples, but the expected disciples were afraid. They were afraid of something. I don't know. Certainly the man couldn't hurt them. He was half dead. But for some reason, we have all kinds of things that keep us from getting involved, helping people. We have fears. And they are fears that just, who knows how they came to us, when they started. But we hesitate out of fear so often. Maybe we're afraid of failing. Maybe we're afraid of our reputation. Maybe we're afraid of what it's going to cost, how much time we're going to have to spend. Some of us may convince ourselves we're just too old to do that. I don't know. But these guys didn't work because they were afraid. But the Samaritan was a courageous life giver because he acted within his own context. Now that's a fancy way of saying he just offered life in his everyday going. He was on his trip from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was taking about a 12-mile walk to get where he was going. And on the way, he encounters this hurting man. And so it was in his context. The man was on the road he was on. It was right in his wheelhouse. And so he took action. In fact, Matthew 28 tells us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." The original Greek version of that verse is "as you go." So in other words, the picture there is just as you're going. Now you don't have to go three continents away to work on a mission field. Now we can. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have a mission field right here. We have hurting people all around us. No matter where we go during the day, we may recognize opportunities to help hurting people. Somebody may be pouring out their life over lunch on a coffee break. Your neighbor may just come across the fence. We may have lots of opportunities to help hurting people. Number two, the Samaritan was moved by compassion. That's what moved Jesus. Matthew 14 says, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick." He had compassion. That's what motivated him. You see, point A, what breaks God's heart should break our heart too. If it breaks God's heart, it ought to break ours. When we know someone is hurting and we know God loves them, we are an extension of Him. And we ought to react like that. Verse number three, he demonstrated courage by reaching out to help. Now here's a little news flash. Fear will not go away. Whatever we're afraid of, now we may get less afraid. We may not still look under the bed for monsters, but we probably still lock our doors. We're not as afraid of some things as we used to be, but true fears that are rooted deep never go away. So courage is the ability to play through them, to take action in spite of my fear. In fact, two little words, fear not. Do you know how often those are in the New Testament? 365 times. Fear not. Now, by my math, and I'm no wizard by any means, that's a fear not for every single day of the year. Isn't that awesome? So I can wake up every day and tell myself, fear not, and be quoting scripture, because there's one in there for every single day. So fear not. What he's saying is, play through it. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it cripple you. Act out of courage. Our pastor gave us this great quote. To be courageous is to hear the roar of fear and still step forward in faith. Quote Jason Sheeler. I don't know if the book's coming out later, but that's a great quote to remind us what courage is. It's to recognize the fear, but I'm still stepping forward in faith. There are many times in my life, and I'm sure in your life, when you've had to take a step that you were afraid to take. But we do it because God's grace, because God helps us do it. Let's look at our memory verse. Let's say it together, 1 John 4:18. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. There's no fear in God's love. He expels it. He can carry us through it. He can help us to be courageous. Look at Ephesians 4. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. The peace of God will hold your heart, will carry you through. So let's compare the fear that gripped the other men to the courage that the Samaritan demonstrated. Number four, he gave mercy and care. First of all, he stopped, didn't he? He stopped, went to the man, and through mercy, propped him up, began to dress his wounds, got him in a place where he could travel a little bit, a short distance, and he put him on his own animal. He traded places with him. He set him on the animal to ride, and the Samaritan began to walk. And he brought him to an inn. And he took him into the inn. He spent the night with him, and then he gave the innkeeper 2 days' wage and said, "You take care of him. And if I owe you anything when I come back, I'll pay it." The man invested his time, his energy, his money, his reputation as a Samaritan. He risked so much in order to help a hurting man. And he showed mercy and care. And then verse number 5 says, brought the man into a community of support. For us, that's the church. You see, we are a place at Hope where we can bring broken and hurting people from our lives. We can bring them here and they will experience love and acceptance, won't they? They'll experience a community that is willing to take them in. And so you can be confident that if someone around you is hurting, we'll do our best to minister to them. We'll do our best to help pick them up. So you have a community. You have a family where you can bring the broken and the hurting. And we will help. We will find a way to make a difference. That's what our church is built upon. Romans 12 says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." In other words, we're in this together. We all have gifts. We're all part of the same family, the same body of believers. We may not all have the same gifts. We can't all do the same things. In a church this size, it could be that we don't even all believe every little thing the same. We've got a ton of background. But what do we say out loud every week? No judgment zone. We take folks where they are. And that's why we're having discipleship huddles, to give people an understanding of what a disciple is, to give them tools whereby they can feed themselves, grow in Christ, and maybe help someone else grow in Christ. That's a community. That's our church. That's what we want to do. All of us coming together with our gifts and trying to work together. Number 6, the Samaritan lived out his calling. He lived it out. He felt compassion. What broke God's heart broke his heart. And so he demonstrated courage. And he lived out his calling. He felt called to help that man. And so he lived out his calling. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus fulfilled his call. He came to give us life and abundant life. So the question remains today, have you answered your call? God has called us to be disciples. And part of that is to be a courageous life giver. Have you responded to that call? Maybe today would be the first day that you might feel moved to respond to God's call. Or maybe you already have, and you just need a little more courage. Wherever you are in your walk today, we're here for you. We're here all week. Staff is available to you and glad to help you with whatever things bog you down. We want to see the Lord set you free. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity of being in your house. Thank you for you being with us. For those who are watching by video, we thank you for being where they are. And we just give you praise and glory for who you are. And we thank you for filling our life with your presence. May we commit ourselves to respond to your call today in Jesus' name. Let's pray as we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Steve, for that wonderful message this morning. So being a disciple includes surrendering our own desires and embracing God's plan for us, because when we surrender something to God, we always receive something better in its place. We receive freedom in so many ways, and we receive love. Amen? And this is done from a mindset of courage and trust, as Steve was talking to us about today. So inside of your worship folder, you have an offering envelope. If you'd like to give today, you can place your offering in here. There are several ways to give outlined in your folder, including our text to give number and also at hopeonthebeach.com. By giving, we are surrendering in trust to the plans that God has to flourish our lives. And if you take a look at your connection card that you filled out this morning on the back, you'll see some ways to celebrate what God has done in your life. If he has moved you today, if you would like to be baptized, you can check that box. We have a QR code that you can scan for more information, and we would love for you to come and talk to our staff about that after today's service. And also, we have some ways for you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. So at Hope on the Beach, if you take your worship folder and flip it over to the back, you're going to see our schedule. And this isn't just to fill your calendar. This is just to fill your life with a community of Christian family And this is a way to get to know us as we come together. We do things for our community. We have fun events that we do together as well. So we hope that you will join us for this in your personal growth, and we just want to share the love with you. So I do want to draw your attention to our called disciple huddles that are happening. So those are beginning at the end of this month on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we hope that you will come and join us in your continued mission on learning how to be a disciple of Jesus. At this time, if you would like to take your connection card and also your offering envelope, you can put them in the plates on your respective side, and we are going to continue worshiping.
In majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Oh, how great our God, to sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Age to age to stay, time
today, we said these words, if we are afraid, it's for the fear of punishment. And if you're afraid of being punished, it says then, maybe you hadn't fully experienced his perfect love. What keeps us from doing that? Well, we know what kept Adam and Eve hiding in the Garden of Eden was their sin. And so this morning, we believe God's word when he says, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our sins, would you please stand with me? Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Join me. O merciful God.